Right. I want to sing a song that I wrote for my wife, 1984, January 21st. That was our wedding day. And the second stanza actually is in Korean because I was a fobby guy. Fresh out of Boeing 747. The real fob, right? So I hope this will minister to you. I heard the singles had a fantastic meeting today, and I heard all of you will be married within 30 days. Is that right? Well, that's what I heard. So, but this song is my love song to my wife, and I'm gonna follow up on that with the Word of God. And actually, after this song, my wife will also come and sing. So. Wait for that. Here we make a vow, once for all. We'll be man and wife forever. We will love and share all we've got. Till the very end, with you, my love. This is beginning May. God bless our home. May love and joys and peace never cease. This is beginning May. God bless our home, you and I you, my love. This to her, so I'm gonna do it to her. Come on out, honey. We're gonna sing. Well, actually, this is a song she wrote, so come on up. You got the really. And this was written 1987, and I'm gonna kind of follow up on that, and so go ahead, share a little bit. Sing.
I'm just gonna sing, okay?
This is a song she wrote.
The first and the last. Jesus, what can you do for me? Jesus, what can you give to me? soul. Jesus, you are the one I sought. Jesus, fill me and comfort me. Jesus, what can I do for thee? Jesus, what can I give to thee? Jesus, I now do understand. Jesus, you are the Christ I saw.
Check. All right, I'm on now. Okay. You know, I really like Jenny's song, especially the last stanza, because she starts out by saying, Jesus, what can you do for me? You know, all three stanzas, it talks about Jesus. You know, it's about a Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, talking about Jesus meeting this Samaritan woman and she asked, Lord, what can you do for me? You know, what can you do for me? But toward the end, the last stanza says, Lord Jesus, what can I do for thee? And I think that's the kind of maturity that we find as an individual. But it is also true with our relationship. And since we're doing a relationship seminar, you know, the reason that we have hard time in marriage, and we had a marriage couples seminar also, a lot of times we go through a difficult time because both are asking the wrong question. You know, what can you do for me? You know, no, what can you do for me? You know, and every time you ask the wrong question, answer is irrelevant. You're asking the wrong question. And so when we, in a relationship, start seeking, I want her to do this for me, and this is my need, and I want her to fill it. When you're still in that mode, the relationship will not really deepen. But when we see the Samaritan woman at encounter of Jesus, and she asked the right question, Lord, what can I do for thee? You've done enough, you know. And I think that's what we're going to touch upon tonight. I was really blessed by your intercessors tonight, because I really was like, Lord, from morning, afternoon and evening, I mean, what more can I say about relationship, really? I mean, I think everybody's convinced it's not that lack of knowledge anymore. We know, right? And so I was debating which message to preach. I'm like, Lord, which message, right? By and large, I do that because when I decide and write it out and try to preach, and the enemy always attacks, so I try to confuse the enemy. So he doesn't know what area to attack, so I kind of, keep it to myself, and finally I said, okay, well, while our intercessor were praying for me, I'm like, wow, this is it, So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is the first book of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to talk about how it all began, how this relationship began. We're going to go back to the origin, the first time that happened. In chapter 2, verse 21, I read from New King James. So I'm going to read, just you read with your eyes. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, everybody says, therefore.
Therefore.
Yeah, very important, therefore.
all that I just read, therefore, because that has happened, right? I mean, this is it, this first relationship, now man and woman is having. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let's pray. Lord, would you reveal your words to us? Something we know, Lord, but would you remind us that we were deeply touched by your words and that we could really make difference in our spiritual journey and difference in our relationship, Lord. Come, speak to us. Let your logos that we read be rhema, the spoken words, into our lives, O God. Inspire us, O Lord, and impart to us the anointing that equals the magnitude of the impact that it has, that we could really live out, Lord, this word in our daily walk with you. So I thank you, I praise you, I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, the relationship that I find in this text, the relationship that Adam has with Eve, doesn't happen until there was a deep, intimate relationship that Adam had with God. Without the relationship that Adam with God, this relationship with woman wasn't possible. That's the first thing that you kind of have to, wow, I never thought it that way. But think about it. Adam was in such a deep relationship with God that he was able to communicate with God face to face. Okay? That's it, you know? We talk about, like, well, how do I know she's the one, he's the one? And that's the question we raise, right? Of course, you know, Jenny confessed to you the true version of what happened. And I don't know. You know, if you disagree with me, it's wrong. It's wrong. So don't listen to it, right? we knew that we are for one another in a very deep level. It took us a long time to figure that out and really appreciate one another. But we knew. Because it's like triangle where God is on top. And you and your future spouse or whatever the relationship, you know. And we don't ever make effort to come together closer. Because that's not going to work. Because it's based on, you know, I like, you know, like a lot of times, you know, guys, you know, you talk about, man, she turns me on and all that, right? Well, if that's what you base your relationship on, like turning on, listen, it'll be turned off very soon, right? Because, you know, Jen and I, we have our romantic moments and all that. But most part, it's lived on the real world with, you know, where we, you know, we fart and we burp and, you know. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? It gets real, right? I live with three sisters and all that. But when I'm married, I'm thinking, there's no way, you know, my wife's going to fart, right? I mean, it's like, that's humanly not possible, right? You know, because I never heard her fart, you know, in our dating. You know why I couldn't hear? Because she's a silent killer, you know? It's like, it's like, whoa, you know? it's like, you know, it's like, we're in bed, you know, and all feeling romantic. I'm like, what is this smell? You know, it's like, whoa! I'm so sensitive, you know? You know, after 25 years, I don't smell anything anymore. I kill my nerves, you know, up here, you know? So, so anyways, yeah. Yeah. You know. So, yeah, I'm going to get it, you know, tonight. But, so if you think, you know, you're going to base your relationship on, like, yeah, she turns me on. No, really, you won't be turned on all the time. And so don't let be the base. You know, what you really need to base is, really, is God. You know, God, center of our relationship. And as you pursue God together, as you come closer to God. The distance between you and your spouse is going to become closer and closer. It's called triangle relationship, where you're pursuing God passionately, and that's all you go after. And then as you, both of you go after God, you're going to become intimate, and it's more real, and it's not only more real, but it will have eternal consequence, right? And that's what you go for, you know. I share with couples that the average marriage ends after 18 years of marriage. That is the really saddest thing about divorce. Majority of the marriage will end after 18 years, and they start, people start divorcing after 18 years. And that's a magic number. Why? Because after 18 years, your kids start going to college. And when empty nest happens, you really haven't invested your relationship with one another. So kids gone, like, I don't know if I love you anymore. And I don't have anything in common. I have nothing to talk about after kids are in college. And so the divorce happened. Of course, that's around the time that guy's going to have midlife crisis, because you really haven't invested your time on a relationship, that you're gonna want faster car, younger woman, you know, just like the world says, faster car, younger woman, and older whiskey. You know, that's what they go after, right? And so it's like, well, is that what you live for? And of course, there'll be emptiness. It's just a terrible thing. You know, what you really need to focus on is, Lord, I really want my relationship to be based on my relationship with you. It's God first. It's that Adam had that intimate relationship with God that he was able to communicate with God. So when that day came, he knew. So, well, here's a woman. She's, you know, out of me. Adam, Adama in Hebrew means out of dirt. You know, guys were made out of dirt. You know, woman, you're made out of bone, you know. You're more precious, you know. But so this two element met. I mean, to think about it, though. What choice Adam had other than, I mean, just only one woman. It's like the other option was zebra or elephant, you know. It's like, thank God Adam chose her, you know. And yet, he knew she was the one. Right? That's the beauty of it, right? It's like, she knew, he knew, like, she's the one. Whoa, man, you know. You're the one out of, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? And so this incredible dynamic between God, man, and woman happened. Now, so I really think the first thing that you need to invest in terms of relationship with the other significant one is your relationship with God, right? Go deep with God. Go seek after God, you know, and cry out after God. The thing that you're going to do the decision you're going to make about your spouse is one of the most important decisions in your life, you know. And I did this with my children as they were growing up, because I heard from Billy Graham himself. Billy Graham said that he started praying for his daughter's husband-to-be when they were fourth, fifth grade. And I remember taking my little girls out on a date, and then I date my girls, you know, and just try to date them one-on-one, and I'll take them out to nice dinner, and especially Patty, she's really into this thing, and so I will take her to French restaurant, you know, and buy her, you know, a strawberry shortcake, and I'll be drinking tea, you know, and we'll talk about life, you know, and talk about boys, and I said, Patty, you know, who do you want to marry, and all that. Dad, I'm like third grade, you know, it's like it's okay, you know. So, you know, let's pray, you know, let's pray for that little boy who will be out there, you know, and that God will make him a godly man, and you'll meet, and you know, we really pray, you know, for this boy, you know, he hasn't merged out of the crowd yet, you know, but we're praying for that, you know. And the thing is that your decision about your marriage is gazillion times more important than your career. So you need to invest your time. No, really. And really pray. I'm talking about serious prayer, like fasting and praying. You know what I mean? Really, it's crying out to God. Like, Lord, you know, I need to be intimate with you. And I really, let me walk in your presence. Let me walk in your will. Let me go with you so that when I encounter, that I'll know. You know, it's the whole thing about flowing out of your being, you know, and flowing out of being is something that I learned, you know, because, you know, as a runner, you know, there's a, I don't want to talk about running because I'm only a marathoner, you know, there's a crazy guy who did 100 miles or 200 miles, you know, yeah, so I don't want to, you know, I just, yeah. So when you run, especially toward the end of the marathon, you have this runner's high. It's like you don't know if you're running. It's like you're just your feet moves, you know, like, whoa, this is cool, you know. And then you get the second wind. It's just like, and you have this incredible feeling like, wow, you know, I could do this forever, you know. And this goes second wind or the runner's high. And then I, you know, and I was running for a marathon for 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to run a marathon. I couldn't go because I hurt myself actually training in the Myrtle Beach in North Carolina, South Carolina. I was running the beach and I hurt, and so I couldn't run for about 5 months. So and I decided, you know what, all that running is not really, it's hurting my knees, you know, or my, so I decided to do triathlon. So I actually signed up. I'm going to do my first Olympic size triathlon next September. So it's 1 mile swim, 26 mile bike, and 6 mile run. And we could do that, right? So it's like, yeah, you know, I want. The part that kills you is the swimming, right? Because you have to swim 1 mile at the ocean, you know. last time they had triathlon in San Diego, one or two guys got killed, or the white shark came and, you know, took one of the legs and things like that. So, but I'm in training, so so I need to swim 1 mile in the ocean. And the way that you do that is go to a pool, and you swim about 1 hour nonstop. If you could swim 1 hour nonstop, you're safe. You know, you could swim 1 mile, right? In the ocean with all the elements and waves and things like that. So I've been doing that, and I just cannot go beyond like 35 minutes, you know? Because after a while, if you just even hold on to the rail for like 2 seconds, it disqualifies, right? Because there's no rail in the ocean, you know? You can't do that, you know? So I cannot get beyond 40 minutes, and I'm just frustrated. So I was in Cambodia, and this year I spent about 6 months in Cambodia. And I said, Lord, I'm gonna forget about swimming. I'm just going to focus on interceding for Cambodia. So I changed my mind. Instead of focusing on swimming and like, oh, I need to swim hour, I decided to just pray for Cambodia, man. You know, so I'm swimming. I'm just praying and interceding for Cambodia, you know, through tongue. You know, I pray in tongue. And so, like, tongue, you don't really have to think, like, you know, oh, Cambodia, you know. You just pray. So here I am interceding. And then I was reading a book on swimming, and it talks about how you could hit a place where that you begin to flow. And I'm like, oh, flow, what is that? You know, and it talks about how you and water become one. So new agey, like, okay, whatever, you know. So here I am, swimming and just interceding for Cambodia, just praying. And I lost track of time. I lost track the fact that I'm swimming. And I found myself becoming water, man. It was so weird. Like, I don't really feel my hand. It just feels like I'm just, it's just, you know. And I realized I entered into that flow. You know, I was just flowing. It was an awesome place, right? And it was great. And I said, man, how much? And I looked, I always have this watch, 70 minutes nonstop. I did hour and 10 minutes nonstop swimming. And I begin to understand what flowing is. That's when you are, in a way, spiritually speaking, when you are like flowing with God, right? It's not only simply following Christ, but now you begin to flow with God, and then you begin to understand the heartbeat of God. See, that's where Adam was. Adam was just flowing with God, you know, resting in Him, and Lord, God puts me to sleep, I'll sleep, you know. It wasn't, you know, crying out like, give me one, you know. He was like just relaxing, you know, resting in the Lord, and he was flowing with God, and then, boom, you know, he sees the one, and he recognizes, well, you're the woman, you know. And there was the union. That was the integral part, was that God initiated. And the important part is God initiated. And Adam recognized that God's hand upon this incredible relationship that God has endorsed. See, the flowing is important, not only in finding a spouse, but every day of your life. You know, like, you kind of flow, you know what I mean? I was in Nashville And last week, and I did just worship, you know, I did, I'm a mission mobilizer, so I go and recruit funding for Cambodia and just, you know, doing a revival. And it's just like at the airport, you know, I saw this New Age store. You know what I mean? They sell this weird stuff. And I don't know why they brought in, they make Indian, American Indian artifacts as like a New Age stuff. You know, they sell stones and they play this music. And I got curious. So I checked in, you know, like, hey, you know, this old man was, you know, selling this stuff, and they had this New Age music, Indian music, and I'm just talking to him, you know, and things like that. And he says, so where are you from, and where are you going? I'm like, I'll be going to Hong Kong, you know, and things like that. So, oh, good, you know, and oh, you know, and then we'll probably go into Indonesia, and, you know, we have a conference, and I'll be doing some surfing, and he's like, oh, yeah, don't ever go surf again. You know, I'm like, what do you mean? He said, you know, he surfed when he was a young man. He's old. He's around in his 60s, late 60s. He said, after 45 years of resting, he went to Daytona Beach, and he challenged 10-foot waves, which is stupid. And then he pulled his arm completely, and he had to do surgery. He cannot live beyond whatever, and he was showing it to me. And he was cussing. He was like rough guy, you know, cussing and all that. And I just looked at him, you know, and I realized God's anointing, God's blessing was coming on him. You know what I'm saying? This is New Age store, listening to this incredible, and, you know, this old man, you know, mad at life, and, you know, just cussing, you know, all this rough language, you know. I let him have it, you know. It's just like, okay, whatever, you know. Say whatever you need to, and he's done. He got quiet. So I looked at him, I said, you want me to pray for you? Immediately he said, yeah, lay it on me, man, you know. So this is so funny, you know, we're at this New Age store. I'm blessing this man. You know, there are customers and there's a clerk working. Like, oh, like, whoa, you know, and I'm praying. I didn't say I was a pastor. You know why I didn't say? Usually when I pray for people in public like that, I never say I'm a pastor. You know why? Because I want to give you a fair chance. Because I don't pray for people because I'm a pastor. I pray for people and bless them because I'm a Christian. Amen? You have same chance. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you could do that, right? So, and just praying for him, you know, I said, Lord, Jesus, come. Would you heal him, you know, and he could surf again, you know, or something. I don't know what I said, you know, but I really blessed him. And I could tell, he was like, wow, you know, thank you for your prayer, you know, and he doesn't cuss anymore, you know. And so I said, sure, you know, and I bought this ring from him, you know, it's nice. I had to buy something, you know. So, I bought a ring from him, and I blessed him, you know. Why? Because, you know what? I was kind of flowing with God, you know. That's just neat. When God kind of, you kind of go with God, and it's just like, you do what God tells you, and it's not like, oh, and it, you know, desperately seeking. It's just kind of naturally supernatural, you know. It's not supernaturally supernatural. It's just natural part of your life, but it's very supernaturally natural. Amen? You know, and that's what's going to happen, you know, in your life, with your spouse, with your, you know, it's just like, you're going to know, you know, you're going to know. And so when we find in this text, therefore, you know, a man, you know, when Adam recognized that you're born of my bones and flesh of my flesh, it comes out of the deep fellowship with God, deep intimate relationship with God, deep understanding of God. You know, God's heartbeat was beating at the heart of Adam, and Adam knew, you know, because Adam, although he's Adama, means out of the dirt, he had the Spirit of God breathe into him, right? The living Spirit got into him, so he has Spirit of God living in him, and his, all his world is just dirt, you know, I mean, that's what he's made out of. But the Spirit of God within him just understood that this is a woman for me, right? At that moment, therefore, very significant instruction is given to us. Therefore, a woman shall leave his father and mother? No. Why is it a man? Have you ever thought about that? Well, listen, wait a minute. Oh, therefore, a woman, no, man shall leave his father and mother. We minister last good 17, 18 years among young people. And we marry a lot of people, right? In our church, when we sense that people like each other, we tell them, okay, you like each other, let's get married. Come on, let's make it happen. You know, because, I mean, if they like each other, you know what I'm saying? You know, because if you like each other and prolong it for whatever the reason, you know, and there are like stupid reasons like, oh, I need to buy a ring. Like, well, what kind of ring does she need? I bought my wife $60 ring, you know. Oh, no, she wants at least, you know, what, 3 carat, whatever, and so $20,000, $30,000. I need to work 2 years to, I'm like, dude, you're stupid, man, you know. Don't do that, you know. I mean, if you like each other, you sense there's God, and there's no point to wait. The longer you wait, you're tempting yourself. And I know you're going to get physically involved, right? Because I know, you know, because I know men, you know, and we talked about that, right? And so it's just thing, you know, that so we when I sense that they like each other, like, okay, so what's the problem here, you know? What can, let's make it happen, 6 months, you know, or whatever, you know. So we usually marry them, you know, quickly. Once, when we know that they like each other. When I planned my first church, I was preaching, and then this young man named David Kim walked in. He was like 21, walked in. There was a glow in his face, and Lord spoke to me, said he's going to plant a church for your church, 5 years, or 4 or 5 years. So I said, you know, what's your name? He said, Dave. I said, do you have a girlfriend? He said, yeah. When can you get married? You know? It's like, what? You know? I said, yeah, you're too handsome. You're too tall. You're handsome. You're gonna tempt a lot of sheep, you know? And Lord said you're going to plant church, UCLA, in 4 years. So let's get married. Yeah, let's get that down first. You know? So he married. Now he plants a church called Garden, and so they're doing well. But yeah, I mean, when we really sense that, you know, she's for me, but we don't really want to wait too long. But anyways, it says in the scripture, the man shall leave mother and father, or father and mother. Why do you think scripture is very clear that it is man? You know why? Because man has problem leaving mom and dad. It's never woman. Women are a little more mature in that area relationally. You know, man has issues of not being able to leave mom and dad. And you know, really, when I counsel couples and things like that, when I see mama boy, you know, try to become a man, but he really hasn't really shaken up. He's not really individual, but he's still mama boy, and he still talk about, you know, my mom used to make my, you know, like, I'm like, why don't you live with your mom then, you know? Why did you marry her, you know? It's like, no, you don't do that, right? I mean, you need to leave your mom and dad. And you leave because you cannot be one with your wife. You're still part of that. You know what I'm saying? It says, two shall become one. Not one plus alpha and all this, you know, the connection. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to leave. Now, a lot of times guys think like, oh, leaving, I cannot abandon. Where does the Bible says to abandon? It doesn't say abandon. It says to leave, right? But we equate that as like, oh, I don't, you know, I need to be still, you know, be honored. No, yeah, you need to honor them, but you need to leave. You know, the best way for you to honor your mom and dad is to leave and be an individual. Become the man, you know. Because if you don't do that, what's going to happen is that it's going to create all kinds of compounded problems. I was 19 when I proposed to my wife. And I told my parents, or my mom at the time, my dad was already out, you know, doing his own thing, you know, joined the Japanese cult, and we didn't know where he was actually for the next 7, 8 years. So it was just my mom, and I said, Mom, I fell in love, and Lord said, and so we'll be married, you know, after. And she was against it, of course. Kid, you know, you're 19, you know, or 20, or whatever. And I don't know why. I think it's the wisdom from the Lord, you know. When my sisters, my mom, everybody were against it. And even before they saw Jenny, because they were like, you're too young. I remember at that meeting, I said, well, then he settles it. You're not invited. It's like, no, you don't understand. I'm marrying her. Yeah, I really love you, and I really wish that you would be part of this marriage. But I'm not asking for your opinion. You know? I know. She's the one. So I'm going to marry. you know, whether you're there or not, you're not invited then, you know. And then I walked away, and there was no more discussion. That's it. You know, we set the date, and we married. Yeah, I want to honor my mom and dad. You know, my dad wasn't there, but I want to honor her. But the Bible says, honor your parents in the Lord. And when you're certain that it is from the Lord, then what is there to honor? By what? Disobeying God? It's not honor when it says to honor your mom and dad in the Lord. So you need to be certain and you need to be set apart, because leaving does not mean that you're abandoning, right? The leaving does not mean that you need to end the relationship. No, it doesn't mean that at all. You leave as an individual so you could begin a new relationship, that you could begin to become one, that you begin to find your destiny in this relationship. It's very significant because that's the first primary relationship that God has given to you. See, it's not friends and it's not even children. The first relationship, the primary unit in your life should be you and your spouse. That's it. And so don't even ever have your children come in between you and your spouse. You know, even symbolically, we don't even put our kids in the middle when they're asleep, because we don't want kids to come in between us. They're precious. But when they come between us, man, they become a problem, you know. So even children, they know. And the best thing that you could do as a father is to love their mom. Love their mom with passion, so that they are secure that their mom and dad are in love. So the primary relationship that God has given is that. So it is not ending. It's not abandoning. So you need to seek after that relationship and know that that is the primary relationship, not the only relationship. Now, this is where the woman actually makes a mistake. The woman wants her husband, the marriage, to be the only relationship. No, it's not. It's primary. So it's primary meaning that's number one. But there's number two, there's number three. You know, there's a relationship with friends, there's a relationship with community, obligation, social status, whatever that God make us, that there are things that we need to do on top of the relationship called marriage. But women, a lot of times, demand that that's to be the only relationship. So that's, we have a problem there. So the instruction of the relationship, the first primary relationship, is that number one, we need to have that intimate relationship with God, so we begin to kind of flow with Him and understand that this is what, where God wants, and there we're kind of doing what God is doing, so that is so naturally supernatural, and we just have a great time. And as we go through that, then we realize that God is going to just show up in every aspect of your life, whether it be relationship with your boss, you know, mom, dad, and you know, things like that, you know. Because, you know, as you get older, your relationship with your mom and dad will change. It's an amazing thing. You know, now that I'm reaching almost 50 and my mom's now 80, you know, there's a, like the reversal role where now I need to baby my mom, you know, and you need to like comfort her and do a lot of things that I would not normally do. Now that she's old and frail, and then she become really demanding and childlike, and I need to live with that and be gracious to that and cover for her, you know. And it will change. But how do we understand that? Well, because we are growing deeply in the Lord, and we appreciate and we're maturing in the Lord, and we become more like God in a sense, and we're kind of flow, and we could grace that because we our intimate relationship with God. Now it's spilled over to other relationships, and first primary is with your wife. You know, honestly, you know, when I got married, you know, I wrote that beautiful song, I think. I sang that, and she's not really into that. She's like, thanks, you know, and she walked away, like, you know. But after the wedding, I still don't know who said that, but one of the older brother came to me after the wedding, and he said, hey, Bob, after honeymoon, it's all downhill, man. What a terrible thing to say to a guy who just got married. It's like, after honeymoon, it's all downhill, you know. Wow, you know, really? He's like, what happens after honeymoon? Right, just downhill, you know. Wow, you know. But honestly, our relationship now, it is so much deeper, so much wider. You know, we've done a lot of crazy stuff together. We've gone through good times and bad times. And no, really, I mean, she's my best friend. You know, we could talk about anything. And really, I love her. And I cannot imagine, you know, that I you know, when I said I do, you know, until death do us apart. I do, you know. I was 22. I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I do, you know. What does that mean? I don't know, but I do, you know. But after 25 years later, I didn't realize I could love somebody so deeply. You know, it gets better. And then it's going to get gooder, and it's going to get goodiest, you know. And so we're getting there. You know what I mean? We're reaching that point, you know. And I learned to appreciate, and, you know, it just gets, no, really, it's incredible, you know. That's why I really think that, guys, you know, no, it's just start the journey, you know, go deep, love God, you know, and things like that. So this relationship is so important that you, as you flow, and then God is going to demand that you leave your mom and dad. Guys, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. It is emotional thing. It is not abandoning. You know, God demands that you become an individual. You become that person. You become someone that is self, not based on any connection. I had that incredible experience. You know, I was just went into Berkeley, and I went to high school where. Our high school, it was a huge high school, but it was in the middle of ghetto, you know. So it was like 70% African American, and like 15% Japanese American, and like 5% Korean American, right? And rest is like, it's like 10% Caucasian, you know. So like 70% African American. So in my high school, what happened is that you have this UC, University of California track, Cal State track, junior college track, high school track. So if you're just going to finish high school, you just take, you know, easy high school classes, and you don't really have to worry about anything. You graduate, right? But if you want to go UC, then you really need to study hard, right? Listen, out of the 70% African-American student body, in my entire four-year high school career, I only had one African-American entering my class because it was all Japanese-American, right? They're all in UC track, right? So it was such a small number of people in high school. Everybody knew each other, and everybody already identified, you know, like he's that and she's that and all that. And I just hated it. You know, that's when that was 1973, 1974, right? That's when all this dress label, like Alligator, the Ocean Pacific, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, the first time, you know, start coming, and they have to buy all this, and they have to wear certain clothes. And I was always, ever since I was young, I was anti-establishment in a sense. Like, no, I don't want to buy that. It's stupid, you know. It's like $5 t-shirt, and you put Alligator 15. Like, why, you know? So, you know, I was labeled as a fob, you know. I remember really not liking high school experience because they had a label on me, right? Guess what? I went to Berkeley. There were 25,000 students. Wow! I loved it, right? You disappear. I had this incredible philosophical experience sitting at Duena Hall. It's just like people going, and if you're into philosophy, Soren Kierkegaard talks about becoming that individual. Becoming that person before God where you do not stand there as a consequence of your past or in relationship with your mom and dad or in relationship with your status, what you have, who you are, none of that, but you just stand alone before God as that individual. And that's the experience I had, you know, sitting in the Duena Hall like, wow, wait a minute, nobody really cares who I am. They did not label me. They don't know who I am. And yet here I am in the midst of these 25,000 students. And I found myself as an individual. See, that's where you need to be. That's what the Bible talks about. Man shall leave mom and dad and become that individual that where then now you could go to. See, the first step is to leave. And the second step is to cleave. So it says to leave your mom and dad. And what does it say? It says leave your mom and dad and they shall become what? One flesh, you become one, right? And in especially guys, we only think about physical union. Like, oh yeah, finally, you know, legally, whatever, you're gonna physically, legally, you know, become one. Well, that's not the only aspect. Physical, obviously, in marriage, you know, we are together, you know, sexually, and we have a union. But it's also emotional. It's spiritual. The spiritual tie is much, much, much stronger, you know. And as we become one, and really to a point where, you know, we really have to verbalize to a point, because we kind of look at each other and, you know, we know where we are, you know, and there's a heartbeat, we are beat, you know, we're becoming one, and we begin to understand, wow, that's what God meant when He says that we will become one. It is a beautiful place to be when two have actually become one. And when all our bias and all our family background, you know, it took us a long time to deal with that. And you have to deal with that. Because you have an issue, you bring an issue into a relationship. And what God wants to do is bring that issue, the issue that God wants to correct, and bring your spouse issue and kind of grind it together, make it round. You know what I mean? Because you're edgy, you know, they're rough in some edges. And you bring the other edge and like kind of break it. And then you become rounded. You know, and you become a well-rounded person, you know, and God builds character, you know. And that's what's going to happen. So you need to kind of realize, as I flow with God, I'm just going with God, you know, I just love God. And so that our relationship is not based on like, oh, you know, she's, you know, cute, or a woman says, oh, he could provide for me, and on and on. And I remember, you know, when I was young and I was in college, one of my best friends happened to be a girl. You know, and I really like her, and we could communicate, we could share, and she wrote me a letter, I found out that she started dating this guy. I said, whoa, time out, you know, it's not for you, you know, come on, you know he's not for you. You know, he was tall. He was tall, and at the time, 1970s, electrical engineering, computer science, double major, EECS, you know, was the happening thing, right? Wow, if you're EECS and tall, man, you know, you're a capable man, you know, right? And, philosophy major and psychology major, you know, your future didn't look that great, you know, because there's no job market for you, right? But if you're tall and you're EECS, man, you know, you're the man, right? And of course, all the EECS now, you know, jobs are in India. So, you know, but at the time, 1979, right? 1979, you're double EECS major. Wow, you're the man. And so she started dating him, and, you know, they want to get married. And I remember writing a 12-page letter. Strong warning. I said, honey, don't ever do that. Because you know, you're selling yourself. You know, like, no. You know, don't base your relationship on future security. You know, it's not that, you know. And I remember writing a long, long letter, you know. And of course, she doesn't listen, you know. And they get married, you know. And of course, they start coming to our church. And now they want divorce. So now I have to, Jenny and I have to minister to them. You know, no, you made a decision. And you said, until death do us apart. You know, sorry. You know, you should have listened to me when I wrote a 12-page letter. Too late, you know. You're married, you know, and have kids. You know, no, you stick it out. You know, and see and pray, you know, and you know, now they are moderately happily married, you know, not extremely, but moderately, you know, and you know, why? Because listen, we based our relationship on thing that is temporal. You don't really base your relationship on that is eternal, you know. That's where God comes in, guys. That's why when we get close to God and relationship with God, and then you know that you know. You know, and when God brings these two people together, yeah, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have a rough time. You're going to go through the same thing. It seems like everybody's going through. But and yet, you're going to come, and you will become pure. You become more stronger, and you're going to come on top. Because why? God ordained. Amen? So don't ever settle for like, oh, yeah, you know. So, ladies, throw away the calculator. Don't, like. I mean, it's like, okay, it's nice, you know, like, okay, he could match, you know, whatever. Don't do that, you know. You know, really, it is based on, is this person from the Lord for me? You know, I know a beautiful love story, and one of my spiritual leader who really mentored me, his pastor, I don't call him Reverend, because he's Reverend Moon, if I call him, so he's Pastor Moon. And he's not Reverend, he's Pastor Moon. He's pastoring one of the large churches in New York now. But he was an amazing, brilliant scholar that I know. He got 6 PhD. And he wrote every single piece. It's just mind-boggling, right? He wrote like 40 books. He's just a crazy guy. He would call me from Korea. He became the chaplain of Korea's largest seminary, Chungcheong University. And he would call me like 2 in the morning. I'd be like, oh, who's this, you know? Pastor O? Like, yes, who's this? Pastor Moon, are you writing books? I'm like, what? You know, it's like, are you reading books and I'm writing books? It's just crazy, right? And but I respect him. He's a great godly man. And I really respect his wife because he's short and he's ugly, you know what I mean? to put it mildly, he's ugly, right? You know what? His wife, wow, tall, is really slender, beautiful. She's so gracious and beautiful. I'm like, what happened? You know, I was like, what happened? You know, so I remember, and he was my spiritual leader since I was junior high student, 1975. So we've known each other for, you know, what, 33 years now. And so I said, what happened? You know. And then this is really a beautiful love story. She comes from a prominent family at the Suwon area in Korea, and her father was like the wealthiest man, and they had all this property and all that. And there was a Bible college at Suwon, and every Bible college students was just gagaing after this lady, right? This beautiful lady, always served at the orphanage, and, you know, comes from a prominent family, the elder family, rich, and got everything, you know. So every single Bible college student wrote a proposal letter, like, would you marry me, and all that, you know. And every single one of them, you know, would write, but the letter will be always returned unopened. You know, you'll be folded back and addressed back and said, I'm praying for somebody right now. You know, and so this short and cute guy started asking, hey, and everybody's like, oh yeah, I wrote, yeah, last week, yeah, I got a rejection letter. He's like, wait a minute, I'm the only one, you know, I'm the one in the entire school didn't write to her. So I'm like, maybe I'm the one, you know. Yeah, this true story. So he wrote to her, and the response came. And she said, yes, you're the one that I've been praying. And then I have to listen to her side of the story. So I said, so what happened? And she said, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. But at least at the time, she said, at the time, that she met him every morning after early morning prayer. And he's such a scholar. And after early morning prayer, he would have like 5-6 different Bibles open. And he would like, you know, he would be so into studying, you know, like, and reading Word of God. And it just turned her on. You know, it was like, wow. I don't care if he's ugly. I want to marry him. You know, it's like, he's a man. He's a man of God who loves Word of God, right? So they married, you know, and it's just really awesome, you know. And their kid, first kid, is brilliant. He got graduated from USC law school. She was valedictorian. She, you know, and it's just really a blessed home, you know. And so when I see that marriage, and I really think, God, you know, you really, what an incredible example where it's not based on calculation. It's not like, you know, I got more, you know, and you really need to be at this level, and it just, no, throw that out, you know. Trash the calculator. you need to be in the Lord, in the Word, in the Spirit, and seeking. I don't care what it is. Lord, is He really the one? You know, I told you, right? When I was in philosophy major, I had long hair, you know, and I had $100, and I proposed to her, and I don't know why she said yes. That really freaked me out. I'm like, well, really? Yes? You know? Wow, that's great, you know? So, really, it was mind-boggling. But, and yet, she chose because there was something, you know, that it compelled her because that we knew that, yeah, it's from the Lord. Yeah, we're meant for each other, you know? And yeah, we're gonna have a hard time. And I gave a hard time, you know, because I bring a lot of baggages, you know, and a lot of issues, you know, and you know, we fought, and, you know, we had all these things. But, you know, but in all the time, we knew that we were for one another, you know, and we made a vow, you know, that, you know, listen, whatever we do, whatever, you know, we could fight, whatever, but let's not mention the D word, you know. Let's not even mention the word divorce, you know, because it's like, wow, you know, I'm the ACOD, adult child of divorce. And I really hate divorce, you know, and I don't want to even mention, you know. So we could fight, you know, all you want, and we could call each other name, whatever, you know, and have a good time. But, but let's not just mention the D word, you know, because I really, you know, hate it. You know, let's not go there, you know. And then we pretty much, up to this point, we kept it, you know, but one time, you know, I was serving at this Korean church, and this Korean church in L.A., man, the fight got so severe. A deacon brought a gun into deacon's meeting to settle the issue. I mean, it got really ugly, right? I'm like, wow, you know? And I got so turned off by the whole episode of, you know, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving people hating each other. It just didn't make any sense to me, and I was young. I said, I walk up to my wife. I said, honey, forget ministry. I'm out. You know, I love Jesus, man. I hate Christians. You know, I love Jesus with all my heart. I'll die for Him. But I hate these Christian leaders and Christians and church, man. I hate it. You know, why don't we just do business? At the time, I was in import-export. So why don't we just, I'll just become a businessman. And, you know, we'll just love the Lord. And I'm quitting ministry. That's one time she said the word, the D word. You know, she said, then, well, then we need to divorce. I'm like, what? You know, what do you mean? You know, and she said, well, because I didn't marry a businessman. I married a pastor. I married a minister. You know, I'm like, I thought you married me because I was handsome, you know. You know, so that relationship was built on God and God's calling and what we felt God wanted us to. You know, that she really saved me. She saved me from my emotional reaction to the situation. She saved me from robbing of my destiny, me robbing and ending my career as who I was going to become. See, and there's that true partnership where, yeah, you're going after God, not even for one another. You know, and that's the when she was brutally honest at the time, and that's the time that I appreciate. You know, later, of course, you know. And so that's what it means. When you leave your mom and dad, guys, and when you are joined together, become one, then you are going to be truly one to a point. Now, listen, this is very important. To a point, verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not, the word, ashamed. Ashamed. That's where you want to be. You know, and it's not a physical thing. You know, it's not nakedness physically. It's nakedness of your identity, nakedness of showing your emotion, showing your immaturity, showing who you are, you know, the real self, and yet you're not ashamed. Because number one, because you know you're graced, you'll be covered, you'll be protected, you're one. Because, you know, how can you be ashamed of yourself? And, you know, you don't, and that's the beautiful part where God wants to bring you to a relationship where out of the intimacy with Him, that He's going to bring a spouse or bring a partner, and out of that intimacy, they become one to a point where you'll not be ashamed. Think about that. You know how freeing that is? You know what kind of stuff that we put on ourselves and try to be someone you're not? You know? I mean, it's so funny. I love to go public bath. I love to go moyoktang, right? And especially, we have some moyoktang in our neighborhood, but I don't go there. Because I know too many people in our neighborhood. Yeah, so we drive, make sure we drive and go far, you know, and because, you know, so funny, you know, when I take up glasses, where are you, you know? I can't really tell, right? And so here I am in public bath, you know, like, and then people come up to me, oh, Muksanim, oh, how are you doing? Like, it's like, they ask, what are you doing here? Like, what do you think, you know? It's like, what do you think I'm doing, you know? But so, and I know it's just guys to guy, but and yet there's an element of shame. It's like, you know, I don't want to be found, you know? It's like, dude, even though you know me, can you not just be wise and not, you know, shake my hand and, you know, call me pastor, you know, in front of all these people, you know? It's weird, you know? And so I make sure that I go, you know, far away places, you know? So even the faraway places, I meet people. But one time, last year, I did 8,200-mile motorcycle tour in America, 13,000 kilo, and at a TV crew. You know the story, and I share. And the Harley-Davidson Club came out and escorted me out. It's like, awesome, man. It was, you know, these rough guys, you know. It's a long story. But one time, I went to this bathhouse, and there was this guy, all tattooed, you know, like, and everybody's afraid of him. So I'm like, wow, who's this guy? I go next to him. And then this guy turned around and said, oh, Muksanim, how are you doing? You know? It turns out that he was one of the Harley guys, you know? And all, everybody was like, whoa, they're all, you know, avoiding us and all, things like that. But when if it's cool like that, it's okay. But, you know, normally, you know, I don't want people to recognize me in this place. Why? Because there's an element of shame, right? But Bible says, two shall become one so much that out of that intimate relationship, the spiritual relationship and physical oneness and, you know, spiritual oneness, emotional oneness, that you could really be honest with yourself. There's a one place in your life where you don't have to put a mask. You don't have to be someone else. You could just be you and be accepted. See, that's the kind of relationship God wants you to have because God wants you to set you free. You shall know the truth, and truth will set you free. See, Christian life is not about imposing all these regulations and rules. And you know, it's so funny how when I see Christians, so been Christian for 30, 40 years, and they're more bound. They're more religious, and there's no freedom. They talk about all this stuff, but it's stuffy, and like, man, where's truth in your life? If you really know the truth, man, it should set you free. You know, not bind you like that. And God wants you to be free. God wants His children to be set free. God wants His child to be free and enjoy freedom and have wonderful life and wonderful time and enjoy freedom and enjoy how God has made them. There's no competition. There's no comparison. Why? Because this is how God made me. And man, I'm in union with someone that I love. And then we're doing things together. And it is fantastic. And that's where we need to be. Amen? And that's why we need spouse. And that's why we invest in praying and crying out to God, you know. And one of my goals in life was to become grandfather by age 50. I'm 47, and I'm telling my first daughter, girl, make it happen. You know? It's like, but dad, I'm not even dating it. I don't care, just make me a grandpa, you know? It's like, 3 years, you know? You got 3 years, you know? So I'm giving her a lot of pressure now, but not really. It is a wonderful thing, you know, marriage, raising children. And out of the raising children, guess what? We become selfless. You know, really, raising children is tough. It's hard, right? And then if you're selfish, man, you're going to learn quickly that you cannot really selfishly parent a child because they'll demand everything out of you. And they don't care if you're sleeping. Ah! You know, like, get up and change their diaper, right? And then they'll challenge your selfhood, you know? And you become selfless. Why? Because God wants you to set you free from being selfish, self-centeredness. And this is a part of the process of growth, part of the maturing. And you become really one. And you're going to stand before God, naked, but not ashamed. You're going to stand with one another, naked, but not ashamed. Because this is how God made me. And then we're evolving, we're developing, and we're maturing. You know, when man and woman sin against God, the first thing they did was to cover themselves. Because they were, read the Bible, ashamed. Ashamed. And God says, who told you? That is, you are okay when they sin. And so, in a way, God is redeeming you out of this humanity, out of this, out of 6.8 billion people or whatever, out of that, God wants to make a union. And God wants to set you free. And so that you have a partner for life who will walk in destiny and do the things that God has called you. Amen? It is a freeing thing, guys. And really, and pray, seek after God's heart. And say, Lord, not really, I seek after you. And it's a beautiful thing when man and woman, you know, they're not really chasing after one another, but chasing after God. And when they meet one another, they know, wow. You know, and a lot of times when you're that mature, at the maturity, no, really, you could literally marry anybody and you could be happy the rest of your life. So it's not like, is it the right one? No, that's a choice you make. That's a decision. That, and then once you make a choice, man, that's it. You throw out all the other options, you know. Oh, and you would be happy because you have no more options, you know. Isn't that wonderful? Like, well, she's the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. How do you know? Well, I chose her, you know. Well, what about, do you think you may, no, don't even talk about mistake or you try to bring down because that's from the enemy. You know, no, I made a choice. She's the one. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Amen? Guys, and learn to leave and cleave to the one. Ladies, really embrace, you know, and I pray. You know, I cannot guarantee that all of you will be married within 30 days, but I pray that it will take shorter than... Then, no, because if you're ready, if you need, and really process, and seek the Lord, and I believe God will wonderfully bring you guys together. For those who are married, let's go to the next level. I mean, we talked about this afternoon. Don't just settle for good enough. Good enough is not enough. Good enough is never enough. Good enough is the worst enemy of the greatest. Amen? And you could have a fantastic life. You could have a wonderful life. You know, don't settle for anything else. Let's pray. I really want to bless you. I really ask God to just show up in your life. And as you passionately seek after God and love God and say, God, would you show me? And listen, you know, people always ask like, do I really need to marry a Christian and all that kind of stuff? All these issues will become irrelevant as you really seek after God. Because you know, how can you have union with someone who's not loving God when your major concern is to love God and passionately be following Him? It's not even a question. You know, a lot of times we want to hear opinion from others because that's where you want to be. Can I have an organist or someone just come and minister? I want to spend some time in prayer. Because I want some of us to be just set free. A lot of the work of the enemy and all the garbage and word values and all the stuff that people said. And let's just go to God and seek after that intimate relationship with God. So that it will become so clear that it is, yes, Lord. You know, Lord, if you don't show and if nothing happens, then I'll just be happy, really serving you the rest of my life. I won't even make that an issue, Lord. But you know what? When you really seek after God like that, why wouldn't loving God bring someone into your life? Why wouldn't a loving father want best for their children? You know, I have children's now of age. I got two 23-year-olds. It's so amazing every time I go places and when I see young people of that age and I get really interested, find out who they are and if there's a possibility. because I'm loving father. I want best for my children and I want to really play a role and just really... Boy, when I see a wonderful gal that, and I'm like, wow, I got three sons. You know, and I just, man, there was a Filipino girl in my church that, boy, I really love. She's really super. I love her. She's such a fantastic gal, loves the Lord, and boy, And I remember I said, Rayanne, just you tell me which one you want. It's like, I got three sons, just which one? Just name it. I'll make sure that he will be convinced that you are from the Lord. You know, and well, she chose someone else. And I'll be marrying her January 2nd next year, and it'll be really sad. But you know, as a father, I really want best for my children. I want my children to have what I have. I want my children to have a wonderful, wonderful life in Christ. I want my sons to experience to stand naked before their spouse and not be ashamed. I want my daughters to experience this incredible love. I want my son-in-law to say, I didn't know I could love someone so deeply. I don't know I could fall in love with your daughter all these days, and it's still amazing how life is marvelous with your daughter, and I want to hear that. I want to see my children grow old and enjoy God and live abundant life in Christ. I would like to see my children, and when I visit their home, their living room will be a place of worship. There will be a place of prayer, and I would like to see my grandchildren secured in arms of mom and dad, and just freely enjoy the loving freedom that only comes from knowing God deeply. We all come from, and we hold these backgrounds, and I did not come from perfect families. Let it end. Let your generation, let you be the first generation, a generation of blessing. Let you be the first generation if you don't have this spiritual inheritance. You know, folks, if you have this incredible spiritual inheritance for your mom, your grandpa, wow, let it continue. But if you don't have that, don't blame it. Don't make that an excuse. Let you be the first generation, a blessing that your great-grandchildren talk about. You know, we hear about great-grandma and great-grandpa and how that they built the legacy of love of Christ in this family. How that we truly became the family that provides and family that gives, and that family enjoy God, and family, we're living a legacy of Jesus Christ, and how we made difference, and how we, the family, really, we're not ashamed of who we are, because we're naked before one another, but not ashamed. God, would you bring that? God, would you bring that source of blessing? God, would you, your spirit, your impartation of anointing permeate right now, and cut away those things, Lord, that hinder them. And some of them are so afraid for relationship because what they saw in mom and dad and the hurts. And God, we pray against those things, because that's not what you meant. That's not the original design. And this glorious experience, glorious example of what Adam and Eve, we want to get there. We want to experience that. So Holy Spirit, come. Permeate, come, touch. Oh God, why don't we go to God in prayer? Why don't we give ourselves to the Lord? Let's pray together. Oh God, I beseech you. God, touch. Oh Lord, God, start a different legacy. Supernatural legacy, Lord God. Father, come. Bless, 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 bless. We want to be source of blessing, Lord God. Oh, Rabbi.
not settle for second best, Lord. Will not settle for anything less, Lord God. Lord, we pray against if there is any wall that we've been building, because we're afraid in fear. We're building walls against intimacy and building wall against one another, building wall against different gender, building wall against marriage. Really, yeah, this fear, this wall of fear, wall of uncertainty, wall of just being afraid. God, we pray against that right now. Break that, break that, break that, break that, break that, break that, Lord. They'll be set free. Some of us, Lord, out of the past wounds and past hurt, and we have this wrong attitude, Lord. God, we pray against that right now. Break that, break that, break that, break that, break that, break that, break that. God, we want to be set brand new. We want to experience, Lord, for the first time. We want to taste this godly experience, godly relationship, Lord. The way we would love one another, we would appreciate, and we would, Lord, give one another, Father, and really see, Lord, and this intimacy, Lord, that we have. Holy Spirit, would you come? Set us free, that we'll not be ashamed. God, come. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. Oh, oh. So Lord, we seek after your heart, and we will go deep with you. God, show us, guide us.
Let's just continue to just go before the Lord and just keep praying. I just keep giving your heart. Right? Your primary relationship is with the Lord, and everything flows from that relationship. Right? If you need to make amends with God tonight, you go ahead and do that. If something spoke to you through the message and you recognize that you've gotten it all wrong this whole time, you're looking at surface things instead of what really mattered. Just make that a confession before God. Maybe that's why you felt so far away from Him. If you're married, put Christ in the center of that marriage. If you're dating, put Christ in the center of that relationship. I'll even say it like this. Ask the Lord tonight. Maybe you're dating someone. Lord, speak to me clearly. Clearly. Lord, no guessing game. God, speak to me very clearly tonight. God, am I messing with someone else's wife, someone else's husband? Because friends, that could clearly be the reality. I don't want to make the mood so somber, but this is serious stuff. Say, Lord, speak to me clearly. Am I wasting my time? Am I wasting other people's precious time? And place Christ in the center. I felt like as Pastor O was praying tonight, I got a really strong word. And it's especially for the dating couples at church. Some of you guys know, have courage to go for it now. I mean, that doesn't mean I want you to get married. For actually, the word is just break up. You know. But you're just acting out of cowardice. Just let it go. God's got something in mind for you. Just move on. You know, right? The spirit inside of you has been crying out for a long time. You know. Just let go. Move on. Ready yourself for what God has in store for you. Don't kid yourself any longer. Just move on. Graciously. Close one door and let God open another door. So Lord, I pray for my friends, God, who are in these relationships, Lord. And God, you've been whispering, yelling, screaming. Lord, their heart bears witness, God, of what they know in their spirit. Lord, give them the courage now to follow through. And obey and walk with you step by step. Thank you, Jesus. And the other side, some of you guys are dating and you know, right? Pastor Rose said, don't waste time, just go for it. Just go for it. Too many limitations on ourselves. Have the courage to obey in that way as well. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank account or how accomplished you are in your career, all that stuff comes. Lord, we bless this congregation, God, with wholesome relationships. Lord, that a man can look at a woman, God, and without lust, Lord, and just want to be a blessing over their life and protect sisters, God. And Lord, we bless our women, God, that will speak into, God, the men of our church and not belittle them, God, and not look at them as objects or dollar signs or anything like that, God, but that can really honor, God, the men here as well. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us, each of us, out of our isolation. The woman brought Adam out of his isolation. So I pray that that would happen in the midst of this congregation, God. Not that we have to marry each other, Lord, but you know. So Lord, would you clue us in on what you know? Lord, wholesome relationships. Lord, that we'd even be healing agents for one another, God, where, God, there may be brokenness with mothers and fathers. But Lord, because of friendship, God, because of koinonia, Lord, that healing would flow through our services, through our house churches, through our fellowship. God, healing would just flow. Just the simple fact that we're united together, God. We're, Lord, learning from one another, God. We're koinonia with each other, God. That healing just happened, God, naturally, supernaturally in the midst of us. Lord, we bless this congregation with that, God. We thank you, Lord, so much for what you're doing in the midst of us. Lord, even from the beginning, God, as you take us wider, God, take us deeper. God, and more than anything, God, just deeper in love with you, Jesus. God, the lover of our soul that we sang today. Stir in us, God, a passion, God. Such a fire for you. And then, God, it will flow through every relationship in our life. And we will be successful, God, when we're successful in you. Lord, I just want to come against the work of the enemy, God, that wants to belittle us, God, and wants to take away the joy, God, of men and women enjoying friendship with one another. God, all this ungodly expectation, God, and I know sometimes as a pastor, I know I place it on my church, and so forgive me. But Lord, just this ungodly expectation, Lord, one bullet theory, all this crap, God, that has invaded our space that doesn't belong there. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. And Lord, and we really pray for revelation. Lord, it's an unveiling when you show us who that person is. We pray, God, from this day forward, revelation would come. Or we'd be sitting in church worshiping God, and the Spirit will glance us somewhere, and we'll see someone, and we'll know. And they'll walk holy into that place. Speak to us, Jesus. God, we're open. God, we're open. We all want this. Thank you, Jesus. Heal us of our hurts, God. That do not help us bring us to this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, God's people say,